disintegrating.
I think they can give us a new name.
Pass
I believe
the
we
salt.
Are Steven Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, thanks for bearing with us here this morning, folks, as we go through some growing pains and some changes here at Coach Dave Live. We even changed our venue. We decided that we were going to start taking, if you look at the, look where we are here this morning, we decided we were going to begin to take Coach Dave Live on the road. So we're in some nondescript new stadium, sitting down a little bit lower. We thought rather than being like the high and mighty, sitting up high and looking low, that we would try to get down closer to field level here today, and maybe we could relate with you a little bit more. Because we're down here at field level, and rather than being clear up in the press box, we invite some of you to come on in, sit on the bench with us. Jared's done a lot of miraculous work. Well, it's not miraculous, hard work, in trying to transfer us over or upgrade us a little bit here. So we are using a new form of Google Hangout. We were just Google Hangout. It's now been upgraded, so we made some changes yesterday. We had some glitches. We've been working through some glitches, okay, folks? Now, Jared made a video, did a marvelous job of making a video, how you can get into the queue. And if you still aren't able to do that, shoot us an email. Say, hey, I still can't figure this thing out. I'm sitting here right now. We can have up to 30 people join us. At least that's what the instruction said. We've never been there with 30 people. We have 12. We used to only be able to get 10. Now we have 12. And so we'd like to invite you to go to CoachDaveLive.com and click on Join the Huddle. It's a little green. I think it's a little green button off to the right. And if it looks like you can't get in, then refresh your browser. Refresh it, and it should pop back open. And you can join by just clicking on Join the Huddle. And then the people, you'll see, line up over here on the side like we have. And we would love to have you become more interactive. For those who've been with us for quite a while would know this. I think that we need to be more interactive in our teaching, more interactive in our in the processing of what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what isn't true. And it certainly is not interactive at all in most churches. It's interactive maybe in your Sunday school, but it's not interactive. And when the pastor gets up and begins to do a sermon, there certainly is no interaction, or very little interaction is permitted. And so we like the fact that the scripture tells us, and in the multitude of many counselors, there's great wisdom. And we believe that there is. So if you're out there and you have an opinion, we'd love for you to join in with us, okay? We'd love for you. Portia just joined in. Morning, Portia. Good to see you there. We'd like for more of you to join in. And, if you got something you want to say, then you're welcome to say it. And you can speak. One of the things that amazes me, you can speak around the world. We have viewers, listeners, whatever you want to call it. I hear from them. They're in Pakistan. They're in Australia. They're in New Zealand. They're in Germany. So we're really reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus, because I want this show to be a gospel-centered program, but I don't think that you can preach the gospel and ignore the culture. I think those two are intermixed and interchangeable. If you really want to see what's going on behind the scenes, if you want really, the scriptures tell us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. If you really want to understand what that is, you got to watch the game film. And it's playing right out in front of us, playing out in politics, playing out in education, it's playing out in the church, playing out in Hollywood, it's playing out everywhere. It's playing out in your food, it's everywhere. There is no, see folks, there is no area in life where the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't applicable. It's everywhere. See, you can't take food and add Jesus to it. You take Jesus and then food becomes understandable. You can't go to a university, get an education, and then add Jesus to it. You start with Jesus, and then you add education to Jesus. In every aspect of our lives, wherever you are, whatever's going on, the problem that you are facing is probably spiritual, and in some way, I hate to use the term religion, because that's not, well, we got a lot of stuff we want to dive in here today, because we've been, Ronald Reagan, it was Ronald Reagan, I just came across the quote, I came across his quote this morning. He says, it's not that liberals are so ignorant. It's just that so much that they believe is not true. So I don't even like the term, use the term conservative and liberal. Roger made it in. Good to see you, Roger. We're up to 14. Come on, folks. Join in here. It's good for my ego. See a lot of people there. I want to talk to you today about terms. Yesterday, I don't know if you caught the show. By the way, hey, Cornelius. Great. Welcome. Come on in here. Today's Tuesday with Russ. And so Russ says, hey, coach, emailed me yesterday. Coach, you expecting me tomorrow? I'm free and ready to go. And I said, no, Russ, I'll tell you why. I'm not very disciplined. And I'm not very disciplined. I am disciplined. But I told him I'm not disciplined because when I get up in the morning, the Holy Spirit sometimes leads me to a new direction, based on what's going on in the world at that time. But I said, I have to be disciplined. I started this thing yesterday, and I have to finish this thing because it's important that we get this foundation under us. So I said, Russ, we love you. Get some sleep. You can come and you can be with us next Tuesday because today is Tuesdays with Russ. Russ, Sally, Rush Limbaugh. Huh? So yesterday we dug into the whole idea of the lie of the separation between the church and state. And I've got so much stuff on this. My goodness. So much stuff. Hey, listen, I just realized something about our queue here, okay? This is a little bit different. If you want to say something, all you have to do is unmute your microphone. And I can see over here on the side that you've unmuted it. Like if George, hey, George, unmute your microphone a second. So I'm out there. Now I can see George wants to say something. So if that's you, now listen, once you unmute your microphone, wait till I acknowledge you, okay? Because remember this, if you've blown bubbles or if you're chomping on peanuts or whatever, we can hear you chomping when your mic's open. So once you open your mic, just try to be as quiet as you possibly can, then I'll acknowledge that your mic's open and we'll go from there with it, okay? So yesterday we started off with, kind of came out of nowhere, going back to when I was at the conference down there over the weekend and realized how little we don't know and how much misteaching that we've had given to us and done to us, that it's impossible for us. Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Jared, maybe we ought to go there first just because I always like starting with the word. Those of you who listen regularly know that Psalm 11, know that we intermix the word all the time anyway. We're constantly throwing a scripture out. But it's always a danger when you take a scripture out of context. Okay, so we don't want to do that. hey, Chris, good to see you, man. Thanks for joining us. Psalm 11, I'm going to take you to 11:3, but let's just go to Psalm 11. Jared, can you shoot that up on the screen for us? Have you found that yet? Let me click on Jared there. Yeah, there it is. Okay, Psalm 11, and I camp on verse 3, but again, it's dangerous if you just stay on verse. Psalm 11 says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. In the Lord put I my trust. Isn't it amazing? Boy, what's the motto of the United States of America? In God we trust. In God we trust. Look what Psalm 1 says. In the Lord put I my trust. We're going to find so many biblical principles in government. What should be government? In the Lord I put my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready the motto of arrow. Hey, Fred up, Fred. Fred, thanks for joining. Don't miss this now. See, there's only one team playing. It's the other team. It ain't our team. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string that they may privately shoot at the upright in the heart. See, there's an offensive war going on, and we're only playing defense. The wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string. And what are they going to do with it? They're going to shoot at the upright in heart. Okay? So he says then, if the foundations to be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the point I made yesterday is, oh, the foundations are destroyed. What can we do? No. All right, boys, the foundations are destroyed. What can we do? What can we do? This is a call to battle, in my opinion. Verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Remember, he sits high and looks low. He sees what's going on. He sees that the enemy's fashioning his bow and his arrows. He sees that. Verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous. What? Huh? The Lord trieth the righteous. He puts tasks. He makes you work out. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Hey, Roger. Hey, boys and girls. I thought God loved everybody. Huh? Just pointing it out. Just pointing it out. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in his heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Well, I want to preach right there because of violence. Doesn't necessarily mean physical. Verse 6, upon the wicked, he shall rain snares. What's he going to do? I thought he loved them. Thought he loved the wicked. Doesn't Jesus love everybody? Doesn't Jesus love those death squirts at the abortion clinic, George, when you got there on Friday? Doesn't Jesus love them? Don't we go out there and tell everybody, Jesus loves you. Hey, Jesus loves you. Well, it says here, upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. That's what they're going to get, it says. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. All right, I got to call timeout right there. What do you think about what you just read there, boys? We're going to Separation Church State here in a second. Let's chew on this one here a second. Well, Jesus loves everybody. Am I missing something here, Michael? Somebody out there, am I missing something? Come on, jump in here.
Yeah, you know, it's a prime example of how that calls itself the church has taken a segment of truth and made it into the truth.
Amen, Larry. Now,
a segment of truth is God is love. And they've made taken that to make it overwhelming truth in every circumstance. But the fact of the matter is God does not love everybody, but he did at one time, loved them so much he provided a way that everybody, even those he hates, can come back into his love if they are obedient and accept what his son did, Jesus did, and then become children of God. That's when you're loved of God.
Be adopted into the family. Would anybody like to disagree with what that says right there? Could anybody read those last four verses, 4, 5, 6, and 7? Could anybody out there read those verses and tell me that Jesus loves everybody?
Dave?
Wait, hang on a second, Roger. The Bible teaches us this. God says, I am the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. Hey, folks, God of the Old Testament was pre-incarnate Jesus. It's the same God, all right? He's not confused. He didn't get born again. The same principle that you're reading here in Psalms applies in Romans. Go ahead, Rog.
Well, I wanted to say that.
What do you mean?
I wanted to say that God loves everybody. What are you talking about? That's what I said.
Yeah. That's what you've been taught. And so you want it to be that way.
That's what I want.
And so that's the way you're going to read it. That's right.
I'm going to get it throughout the whole Old and New Testament because that's what I want to read. That's what I want to see. I'm not interested in truth.
Amen. Amen. Roger, I'm going to tell you something. I ain't in love with those terrorists over there in England that killed all those people. I'm not in love with them, and I don't think God is either. I'm just not. Sorry. What does it say here? Why, somebody help me out here. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone. Verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. What is your soul? The soul is the very essence of who you are. Your mind, your will, and your emotions, your soul. The Lord has a soul. Does his soul hates the wicked? What? All right, I don't want to get bogged down. Hey, you know what, Rich? That's some of them foundations that's been destroyed, isn't it? Huh? That's some of them foundations. The Lord hates the wicked. The Lord is angry with the wicked every day. Some of those foundations have been destroyed. And if those foundations have been destroyed, what are we going to do about it? That's the question being asked. Somebody's trying to get in. Go ahead. I hear you. No? Okay, it's just Roger. Okay, cool. Okay, y'all good there? Don't care if you are. We're moving on. Hey, folks that just tuned in, come in and join us. Okay. Come and join us here in the queue. Just go to Coach Dave Live, click on Join the Huddle. If it looks like it's not live or said you can't get on it. Morning, Ray. Ray's joining us. Come on, let's get up to 30 here this morning. Let's see. Here's why I'm saying this. I'm not trying to stroke my ego. I want to see if this thing actually works, if we actually can get 30 people on there. We've never done it. So if you're out there and you've never joined us, please just try to join us today to see if our system is going to be able to handle that many people, okay? Thanks. Okay, so here's what I was talking about yesterday. We jumped on it yesterday. The greatest lie perpetrated in my lifetime on the American church is the lie that separates between the church and state. And I don't want to replay what we did yesterday. If you didn't see yesterday's program, go watch it. And then after you watch it, share it. Share it. Because I think it was so, dare I say this, so non-offensive that maybe some preachers would watch it. Because our people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We don't know. Because we don't know, we make stupid decisions and begin to believe things that simply aren't true. This one's going to be a little bit harsher. But I think we need to dive into a little bit. As we left the show yesterday, if you remembered, yesterday we spoke about the words church and state. Church and state. About the lie of the separation between the church and state. And did we come to a conclusion yesterday? What is the church? Hey, Jared, just to expedite things a little bit, just go to, just look for the definition of church, because I don't think we ever really put it up. Portia told us that we are the church, and I agree with that. We are the ecclesia, the called out ones. We are the church. And then we eventually got to the idea that it was denominations. Denominations are the church. What really is the church? Because remember, there's a separation between the church and the state, right? So Jared's got up on our screen right now, and here's what it says. Definition of church, a building for public and especially Christian worship. Oh, number two, the clergy or officialdom of a religious body. My pastor's the church. A body organization of religious believers, such as the whole body of Christians. Wow. The Presbyterian Church, denominations. Let's keep going here. Come on. This is good stuff. We got to know this stuff. Words have meaning. And if we let them, Mary Jane, thanks for joining us, Mary Jane, Jeff. If we allow them to change the words on us, well, then we're going to believe stuff that's not true. All right? So it's a denomination. It's a Presbyterian Church. It's a congregation. They had appointed elders for them in every church. See, there was more than one church. It was a building, right? Number four, public divine worship, to go to church every Sunday. Hey, folks, let's have church, right? Church is a divine service. It can be a divine service. Five, the clerical profession. Oh, yeah. I'd say consider the church as a possible career. All right? So when we hear church and state, if we had any sense at all, we would stand up and say, wait a minute, what do you mean by church? See, that's the first thing that they should have done back in the Supreme Court in 1947 in Everson versus the Board of Education. Somebody should have written a part of the decision and said, hey, wait, what do you mean by church? Because until we define this thing, how can we make laws against it, if we don't know what it is? Huh? We don't know what it is. How can you regulate it? How can you say there's a separation between it? Words have meanings. And then, did you know this? I know you didn't. That's why you turned in here. Do you know that the Supreme Court of the United States has never defined church? Never. Never. In any of their rulings have they ever defined church. Yet they said there's a separation between the church and the state. As we showed you yesterday, the state is not the federal government, although they can be called heads of state, or Hillary was Secretary of State representing. But that's not what this was about, because remember, the states are here first. The states states made the laws. So when they said there was a separation between the church and the state, that's what they were talking about. It had nothing to do with federal government. Cool? All right. Now, I want to show you something here. Jared, good job with all that. Anybody want to? Anybody? Because listen, I know sometimes you guys out there under the unction of the Holy Spirit, a question rises up in you or a comment comes up in you. Hear me. Listen, it's important that you say it because chances are if you have that question, somebody else has it. And they wish they had asked it. And again, if we don't clarify things at the beginning, we'll end up in the fourth grade and still not know how to read, okay? So if a question comes up or a comment comes up, please don't hesitate to speak. Don't say, well, I'm not as wise as Coach. I don't want to interrupt him. I'll tell you when not to interrupt. But if the Lord reveals something to you or a question comes up, this is the time, the place, and the venue in order to ask that question, okay? This is a safe space. Snowflakes, it's safe here to ask a question. Okay. Evidently, nobody wants. Yes, Larry or Michael.
First of all, the reason why the term church is generic, because originally they didn't want Catholic to dominate, or a Presbyterian, or any other church organization.
Denomination
to dominate the worship. We have freedom of worship in America. So that means if you go to a Catholic church and they worship one way, you go to a Presbyterian church, they worship another way. There is no set limit on which form we have to take. So the church is in a generic term, allowing all forms of worship of Jesus Christ under that term church. They're not trying to specify what the church
That's right.
is.
Like well, they don't want to specify because if they do, they know they're in trouble. Lindell, good. Hey, Jared, pull up there real quick. Let's go back to the dictionary, Jared, and pull up the term denominate or denominator or denomination. But let's start with denominate. Yeah, let's start with that, Jared. Because we have denominations, do we not? What's it mean to denominate? Well, I hate when we do this because we end up finding stuff out. Jared's trying to find a good one. Okay, to denominate, it says to give a name to. We're the Church of the Chosen Frozen. But we're not a denomination. We're not a denomination. Or to express or designate some denomination. Well, denominate prices in U.S. dollars. Scroll on down there, Jared. See if it's not going to tell us more about Jared, go to denomination. Let's go to denomination then. Denomination is an act of denominating. A value or size or series of values. Name designation. A general name for a category listed under the general denominations of gift. A religious organization whose congregations are united in their adherence to its beliefs and practices. People from several different Christian denominations. So what is a, hey Jared, don't blow your mind. Jared, let's do this. So what's a denominator? Just or, denominate or. Denominate or. Man, what's that, Jared? Why, my goodness, the part of a fraction that is below the line and that functions as the divisor of the numerator. Common denominator, the average level or taste of opinion standard, manufacturers catering to low denominator of public taste. So a denominator is a math term. It says right up there, it's a math term. It's the part that a whole is divided by. That's the denominator. So what do denominations do? They divide. And why do denominations divide? Because they don't believe the same thing. They build churches around specific doctrines. Jared, good. Thank you, Lord. Jared, what's a doctrine? Let's throw that up there. What's a doctrine? Words mean things. Hey, folks, I know this is hard for you to understand, but you can learn things that aren't just in the Bible. What's a doctrine? Why? Something that is taught. A principle or position of, or the body of principles in a branch of knowledge or a system of belief, such as Catholic doctrine. Or in law, it's a principle of law established through past decisions. Four, it's a statement of fundamental government policy, especially in the international relation. The Trump doctrine. Military principle or set of strategy. So a doctrine is something that you teach. Something that you teach. That's a doctrine. With me so far? So we would say that we have essential doctrines and non-essential doctrines. Jared, put that up there, essential doctrine. Put essential up there. Am I boring anybody out there? I don't care. This is class. This is American Living 101, essential. Essential. Okay, of or relating to a constituting essence. Of the utmost importance. Being a substance that is not synthesized by the body and quantum, blah, 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 blah. So essential means you must have it. Essential, utmost importance, necessary. Jared, put doctrine beside essential and see what it tells us. I don't know if he even do it. Yeah, then tell us. But an essential doctrine is one it's essential. We all have to agree on. What are essential doctrines? Virgin birth. One God, three people. You say, Coach, you don't know the essential doc? Yeah, I do. I'm thinking. I'm on page 12 and trying to bring us along. Okay? So words mean things, right? And because people disagree with that, what they call, hey, Jared, try this one. Non-essential. Put non in front of essential. And what do we come up with? What's that say? Why, it's being a substance since non-essential. Well, it's the opposite of essential. It means necessary, right? Or required. So what's non-essential? Not necessary, not required. What's something that's non-essential? Speaking in tongues, that's non-essential. It doesn't matter. What's non-essential? The way you baptize, that's non-essential. Is baptism essential? Yeah, everybody's going to be baptized. But the way you do it, that's non-essential. You understand? Except all these denominations are built on non-essentials. They're built on non-essentials. Things that don't really matter. And that's where our division lies. And in fact, that's what we go to war on. Hey, we got 18 people with us live. Come on, let's get up to 20 today. I want to be able to run upstairs and say, hey, honey, we had 20 people in the queue today, which would be double what we normally had. Just go to Coach Dave Live, click on the green thing, join the huddle, and you jump right in. Okay, so here we go. Jared, time out. Any response? Lord, say anything to anybody there in what we just went through? I'm sorry that we used non-biblical information. Because, you know, that's what a lot of Christians say. If it's not in the Bible, I don't believe it. Okay, well, words have meaning. Jared, what is religion? What is religion? Because remember, there's a separation between the church and the state. Thank you, Jared. Wow, the service or worship of God or the supernatural. Commitment or devotion to religious faith or observation. A personal set or institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. Jared, click on religious there, a state of religious. Say, Coach, this is, come on, get on with it. Well, I am. Relating to or manifesting faithful devotion to an acknowledged ultimate reality or deity. So global warming is a religion. Evolution is a religion. It's religious. Okay? Humanism is religious. Socialism is religious, relating to or manifesting faithful devotion to an acknowledgement ultimate reality. Doesn't have to be, oh man, so much to learn here. So much. Okay, with me? What they say, he's religious. What's that mean when they say, that Coach Dave, he got religion? No, I didn't get religion. I didn't get manifesting faithful devotion to acknowledge ultimate reality or deity. I got Jesus. I received Jesus. I didn't receive religion. But you know why people say, well, he got religion? Because religion is the rules and regulations, and that's what people think Christianity is, rules and regulations. Hey, we're up to 20. Rules and regulations. Oh, Coach Dave, he got religion. He now follows rules and regulations. It's a terrible, terrible misunderstanding of the gospel of Jesus. Now, where have they learned that? Well, they've learned it from us. Okay? Somebody's trying to get in. I hear you. Go ahead.
Coach, I think the basis of the word religious or religion is religio, which is Latin for worship. So it's depending upon what you worship.
That's very, what's no, religion. My good. Good.
You can worship Satan or you can worship God. So there's a religion of Satan and there's a religion of God, or Catholic religion, or whatever denomination you want to add to the religion, but it's the basis of worshiping.
Yeah, so we could worship the Cleveland Browns. We could worship the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, amen.
We could worship LeBron James, right? We could. So you say, oh man, I'm telling you, that Dobmeier, he follows those Browns religiously. You ever heard that statement? Oh man, he worships those Buckeyes. You ever heard that? And so, see, we have allowed, Lord Jesus, we've allowed the very obvious gospel of Jesus Christ to be classified with all this other, junk. And they told us there's a separation between the church and state, except what's a church? We don't even know what a church is. And neither has the Supreme Court told us. So Jared, let's go to the information I gave us today. It's good stuff, isn't it? I'm sorry, it's good stuff. Jared, just click on the email because, hey, listen, here is from the Virginia Declaration of Rights, okay? Here is the definition of religion, okay? Click on that, Jared. There it is. Make that big. From the Virginia Declaration of Rights in 1776. Now, remember, there were 13 colonies before there was a United States government. So in the Virginia Declaration of Rights, here's what they said. That religion, here's the definition, or the duty which we owe to our Creator and the manner of discharging it. That is religion. What is it again? The duty which we owe to our Creator and the manner of discharging it. Or you could say this, that religion, or the duty we owe to worshiping the Buckeyes, or the duty we owe to following the Cowboys, or the duty that we owe to following global warming, or the duty which we owe to following evolution and the manner of discharging it. That's what a religion is, okay? So again, let me complete it. That religion or duty which we owe to our Creator and the manner of discharging it can be directed by reason and conviction. I'm going to say this again. I got to slow down. Sometimes I get in a hurry. I hear from people all the time, slow down. Okay. The Virginia Declaration of Rights says, religion, or the duty which we owe to our Creator in the manner of discharging it, religion can be directed by reason and conviction, not by force or violence. And therefore, all men are equally entitled to the free exercise of the duty which they owe to their Creator in the manner of discharging, according to the dictates of the conscience. And that is the mutual duty of all, look at this, to practice Christian forbearance, love, and charity towards each other. So the Declaration of Rights from Virginia said, listen, even though some dude is worshiping the Buckeyes, Christian forbearance and love we ought to give to one another. That's called tolerance, right? But where does the tolerance ultimately come from? Christian forbearance. Now, when they get beyond the scope of Christianity and they begin to assault Christianity, I would say no longer is there any Christian forbearance. All right? How many of you never knew that? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand, class, but it's good stuff. We were up to 20, back down to 19. Come on, let's get to 30 today. My wife just texted me. That's why I love her. Such a good lesson, my wife just said. Thanks, sweetheart. Such a good lesson. Okay, Jared, there it is. All right? Now, what I want to show you next. All right, Jared, let's go to Jared, pull up the First Amendment. Hey, Roger, are you awakening out there? I know you're out there. Are you awake? Because I'm going to call on some legal expertise here a second. Yeah, here we go. Okay, First Amendment. Jared, let's go to the First Amendment. First Amendment, the Constitution. Remember, guys, the reason that they put, I just want the actual First Amendment up there, Jared, if you can get it. Why did they, see if anybody learned anything yesterday. That's a dumb thing to say. Why did they have a First Amendment? Why was it necessary after what we just studied today And after what we studied yesterday, why was it essential to have a First Amendment? What does the First Amendment guarantee? Come on now, class. Somebody help me out.
Speech.
Freedom of speech, freedom of religion.
Why? Why, though? Why? We just read it. Why?
Because the people of America, when they came over to the United States, they came from a persecuted persecuted England. Europe was persecuting Christians. And so they wanted to have the freedom to worship freely and not be under King George and Maximus Pontus.
Yes, sir.
And also being persecuted for religious differences.
Boy, Ray, I'd like to give you a little star to put on your paper today. Good. Very good, right? So therefore, Jared, what did you were reading? I was ready to jump up. You just read something that was really good. Do you go back a page maybe, Jared? Okay, stay right there a second, Jared. Folks, listen, okay. I don't know what that page that you just had up on there. I wanted to show that they lied to us. Folks, they lied to us. Stay right there, Jared. No, that's not what it was. Okay, no, go ahead, Jared, because you got it there. First Amendment, put it back up there. Words have meaning. Words have meaning. Okay, here, stay there. There you are, Jared, stay there. Hey, folks, want to see a lie right in front of you that you never saw? They do this to us all the time. All the time they lie to us like this. You ready? I'm going to read what's up on my screen. This is the Cornell Law School, Ivy League, of course. This is the Cornell Law School talking about the First Amendment, and look what they tell us. The First Amendment guarantees freedom concerning religion, expression, assembly, and the right to petition. It forbids Congress from both promoting one religion over others. Huh? What? It doesn't forbid Congress from promoting one religion over another. Congress established Christianity as the religion. See, they're trapped in denominationalism. See, they don't understand. Cornell doesn't understand. Promoting one religion? What do you mean promoting one religion? This nation was founded on Christian principles. What's going on here? It says it guarantees freedom of expression by prohibiting Congress from restricting the press or the rights of the individual to speak freely. Oh, yeah, sure it does. It also guarantees the rights of citizens to peaceably assemble to petition their government. Okay, good. Huh? You see the lie there? Promoting one religion over others? What's a religion? We just went through that. What's a religion? What's a religion? How can the president take sides in the Army-Navy game? Some people are, you know, Jiminy, I'm Army, all the way Army. And how come the Marines don't get to have an Army-Navy game? What about the Merchant Marine? Well, their religions are a set of beliefs, duties to the one that you worship. Okay, First Amendment. You guys follow me out there? Huh? Am I doing okay? I hate to ask. I don't want to lose you. I don't want to be. This is so critical. Okay, here is the First Amendment. Words have meaning. Roger. If you were brushing your teeth or something, get ready because I'm going to lean on your legal advice here in a minute. But you're going to have to be careful because I'm going to trap you. Here we go. First Amendment of the Constitution. This is the Bill of Rights would not have come into effect had they not. They argued and argued and argued until they eventually put the First Amendment, the First Amendment. First Amendment wasn't part of the original amendments.
Excuse me. Hey, Billy, turn your microphone off, please. It's creating interference everywhere.
Thanks, Larry. I don't know whose microphone that is. It's me. Somebody probably wants to get in here, and I didn't see it, so I apologize, whoever that was. Watch. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or, I believe in the original text, hey, somebody check this for me. I believe in the original text it says nor, N-O-R, I think. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Okay, stop. Let's go right there. Help me out here. Sorry, got to get to the basics. Somebody, what's Congress?
Congress is a the legislative and the Senate.
And what branch of government is that?
Legislative.
Legislative. Why do they call it the legislative branch?
Because they make the laws.
Okay, so does it say judges shall make no law?
No, definitely not.
Why doesn't it say judges shall make no law?
Because they divided the government up in the different categories of legislative, executive, and judicial.
So were they confused? Should this read?
They weren't. We are.
Should this read the First Amendment? Should it read government shall make no law, or should it read the Supreme Court shall make no law? Why does it say Congress shall make no law? Very simple
because
answer.
That's the legislative a way that the government was set up.
Larry, let me Michael, let me give you Ohio cornfield talk. Because Congress makes laws. That's what Congress does. Why didn't they say courts shall make no laws? Very simple. Cornfield talk. Courts don't make laws. You guys, do you understand this? Courts don't make law. They don't make law. Jared, take a deep breath. Hey, Jared, look up law, L-A-W. Go back to the dictionary and look up law. Law, a binding custom or practice of a community, a rule of conduct or action prescribed or formally recognized as binding or enforcing by a controlling authority. A whole body of such customs, practices, and rules. The court exists to uphold, interpret, and apply the law. Okay? The law carries with it the force of an authority. Okay? So the reason Congress made laws is because Congress was responsible to the people. And if we didn't like the laws that were being made, we could change Congress. Hey, why can't we change the Supreme Court? Why can't we vote on and fire the Supreme Court? Because their appointments are for life, and they're supposed to do nothing more than to enforce the law. That's all they're supposed to do. They don't make law. Let's go back to the First Amendment. Say, Coach, I should have learned this in the second grade, and I didn't. You don't have to say it. I just said it for you. So Congress shall make no law. Why Congress? Because Congress makes law. Respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Okay. Are you with me, Roger? Did you wake up yet? Come on. I need that attorney. I need that attorney. He's out feeding his dog. Okay, boys. I'll ask the rest of us who aren't quite so smart. We're at 20. Let's get to 25 today. Come on, five of you jump in here.
Coach.
Hey, Cornelius. Yes. Yes, Ann.
I'm backing up a little bit here, but the belief is that this country was created under Christian values, and I'm not so sure that's true.
Okay.
Look at our money. Look at how Washington, D.C. was laid out. It's very satanic, I believe.
I agree with you, Ann. Grant, I agree.
That, you know, in God we trust. This is about our God Almighty.
I'm with you, Ann. It is Ann, right? No. Listen. Here's what you just missed.
Yep.
Here's what you just missed. See, the government was established before money, before Washington D.C., before any of this stuff. And the government was founded upon Christian principles. Just like today, we grew up with Christian principles and we rejected them. It doesn't mean the Christian principles weren't at the root of it. And I understand the Masonic underlying stuff of Washington, D.C. I understand all that. I get all that. And there will be those who will argue that it was the intention of some of the founders to cloak by using the word God, could cloak it. But if we go back and we look, and now don't forget this is important, folks. If we go back to the original 13 colonies, they all were Christians. Most of them set up by denominations, as we saw yesterday. So to deny the existence of a pre-Christian foundation would just not be, it just wouldn't be true. It just wouldn't be true. Jared, go back to the top of that.
Original intent.
Original intent. Chad Estes just said it started out Christian. Over the time, it's been tainted. Okay, look at this. It says by the year 1702, all 13 American colonies had some form of state-supported religion. This support varied from tax. Mine's blocked off because of this queue here. Religious requirements for voting or serving in the legislature. In other words, there were some of these places you could not run for office if you weren't a Christian. Okay, most instances of state-supported religion were removed before 1850, and the remaining requirements became null and void on passing of the 14th Amendment on July 28, 1868. New Hampshire, North Carolina removed the nullified religious references from their state constitutions in 1875 and 1877, respectively. Hey, guys and girls, I could take you back and I could show you this right now, that in every one of these colonies, at some point, maybe we'll do this tomorrow, you had to acknowledge a belief in heaven and hell and God and the devil, and an acknowledgement of rewards and punishment to hold public office in some places in order to vote. You had to hold that. Remember, this was pre-America, okay? This is organic. This is where we came from. And as Chad said, we've been tainted. Go ahead, Ann.
No, I agree with you completely. I just, I'm talking about the reading of, you know, you're reading the Constitution, you're reading from the Bill of Rights, and that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, with you on that.
Those documents were founded under.
Yeah, yes.
Is anyone else experiencing horrible static?
No.
No.
Okay, let me jump back in again.
Yeah, sorry, Larry. Sorry. God, I only got 12 minutes. That's okay. That's all right. Okay. So remember, why don't we just run through there? Jared, go back to that First Amendment, because words have meaning. And if we don't hold them to the law, which is what we don't do. Hey, George, she's back. Sarah's left. Okay, here we go. We're at 19. Boy, fading on us. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion. This is where I wanted to get Roger in here, but either he can't get in or he's asleep at the switch. I'm going to ask this. From a legal definition.
I'm ready.
What is it? Roger. Good. Thank you, Roger. What does it mean to establish, Roger?
Probably to set forth, to establish, to make certain.
Hey, Roger, let me make it easy for you, Roger. Let's say we wanted to start a new town out where we live, and we wanted to call it Weaverville. How would we make a town called Weaverville?
Well, you would probably look at, well, first of all, is there a structure that I come under already, or are we starting from scratch?
Well, let's say we're starting from scratch, but how would we start establishing Weaverville? Okay.
How do we want to live? What do we want the rules and regulations to look like? What type of people do we want to be?
Would we have any documents, any formal documents that we would have to sign, you think, to start Weaverville?
Yes, we would. To be a yes.
You could start out Weaverville just on your own because you own Weaverville. But if somebody else wants to come in and be in Weaverville, you say, okay, but here's the rules to live in Weaverville. In fact, we call them HOAs, don't we? Homeowners associations. Aren't those establishments, Roger?
Yes.
Okay. So you just can't say that. Here's the point I'm getting at. Roger, how would you establish a national religion? What would that process look like to establish a formal national religion?
Well, it wouldn't be a whole lot different than Weaverville. You'd have to have foundationally the rules and regulations for people to participate.
Okay.
At a bigger
would it be that everybody that is in this Weaverville, this establishment, they would all have to follow the same laws?
They should, yes.
They would all be subject to the same taxes?
Yes.
They couldn't opt out and say, listen, I don't like the way Weaverville's being run. I'm not paying taxes. They couldn't get away with that, could they, Roger?
Unless they wanted to make a political statement or something. But yes, they could get away with it. It all depends on what the penalty was or would be for getting away from it.
Well, Ron, that's right. So you would drag them to the magistrates, wouldn't you? They would go to the magistrates, say, why aren't you paying your taxes to Weaverville?
And then the magistrate would make a decision, and then there'd be a consequence.
That's right. That's right. So tell me this. Somebody out there, help me. Somebody out there, help me! Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. How would you establish a national religion? How could you do that? How would we be able to establish it? First of all, you can't. And if I go to school and we open with a prayer at school by boys and girls, at your local school, if you open your graduation with a prayer, is that an establishment of religion or a free exercise thereof?
Free exercise.
Can somebody tell me how in this clause right here, the establishment clause trumps the free exercise clause?
Free exercise.
It doesn't, does it? So in other words, if I want to pray with my football team, who cares if some kid doesn't want to join in? He has the right to say, no, I don't want to pray. Cool, shut up. I have the right to pray. Everybody else want to. Why? Because the free exercise clause is not trumped by the establishment clause. And when Coach Dave Dobenmeyer walks into the locker room and says, boys, take a knee, we're going to say a prayer. Can somebody tell me how I've established a religion?
They're worried about the young skulls of mush and you influencing them.
Have I established a religion? No, but you walk into your school, your public school, and the establishment religion is evolution. Every kid has to learn it. Everyone, it's on their test at the end. Evolution's a religion. Go ahead, Larry.
You know, the Constitution and the First Amendment prevents Congress, that is the federal Congress, from making
right.
a law. It doesn't prevent each state from doing its own thing. It prevents Congress from making a law that covers the whole country.
Amen, Larry. Amen. Separation of church and state. So listen, hey, boys, we got to wake up here. See, you know what I want somebody to do someday, Roger? It's never going to happen, but this would be perfect. I would like to apply for a football coaching job at some public school and have the school board say, we voted to hire Coach Dave because we support Christian principles. We're hiring him because of his Christian principles, and we will not silence his right to be able to express them. And we think those Christian principles, as taxpayers of this community, we think those Christian principles are essential to a free government. So therefore, we're going to hire a coach who supports those principles. Instead, I'm not qualified. Because why? I'm religious. Can't have it. So they'll teach humanism in the school. They'll teach evolution in the school. They'll teach everything else. Yeah, Rog.
Yeah, but things have been going so well in public education. Why would they want to screw it up?
Yeah. here's the issue, right? Hey, folks, come on now. Come on now. What right does the federal government have, read the First Amendment, free exercise thereof, free exercise? What right does the federal government tell you can't pray before a football game? Say, well, coach, some kids are going to be offended. Hey, listen, I'm their coach. They're praying my prayer. Okay, so what? They don't have to pray. Yeah, George.
Man, you know, the enemy, they're winning out of our ignorance, aren't they? Plain
they
and simple.
They are. They're killing us out of ignorance. Okay, now listen, I got to show one more thing just because I put it up here. I only got 4 minutes left. Hey, Jared, let's go to, which one is it? SCOTUS. Go to the one that says SCOTUS, Jared. I hope you're all sitting down.
Hey, Coach, just to remind everybody, those were written back in Philadelphia, not Washington, D.C.
Hey, good one. Has this U.S. Supreme Court defined religion? Although it's maybe make it a little bit larger, Jared. I only got 5 minutes. I'm going to try to nail this one, and then, boy, I got some more good stuff to come tomorrow. Although it's attempted to, Jared, when you make it that big, I can't see because of the people in the queue over here. Although, there you go. Although it is attempted to create standards to different religious beliefs and actions from similar non-religious beliefs, the Supreme Court has never articulated a formal definition of religion. Given the difference of Americans' religious experiences since the Constitution was created, the single comprehensive definition has proved elusive. In 1890, the Supreme Court in Davis v. Besson expressed religion in the traditional theistic terms. The term religion, the court said, has reference to one's view of his relation to his creator and to the obligations they impose on the reverence of his being and character and of obedience to God's will. In 1960, this comes our way now, the courts expanded its view of religion. In the decision, 61 decision of Torcaso v. Watkins, the court stated that the Establishment Clause prevents government from aiding those religions based on a belief in the existence of God as against those religions founded on different beliefs. In the footnote, the court claimed that this principle extended to religions in this country which do not teach what would generally be considered a belief in the existence of God. Buddhism, Taoism, ethnic culture, look at this, secular humanism. The court acknowledges secular humanism is a religion. Secular religion is the worship of man. All right? So no matter how you cut it, you cannot get away from, you're going to serve and worship somebody. The question before us today is, what do we want our kids to worship and serve? Themselves? How's that working? Or do we want to establish a national set of religious beliefs? Jared, real quickly, I only got 3 minutes. Google, Jared, definition, culture, culture. The uniquely American culture. What is culture? Well, the act of developing the intellectual moral faculties, especially by education, expert care and training, and enlightenment. That's not what I'm looking for. That's what it is. Verse 5, the integrated pattern of human knowledge, belief, and or behavior that depends upon the capacity for learning and transmitting knowledge to succeeding generations. A culture is the customary beliefs, social forms, and material traits of a racial, religious, or social group. The characteristics, features of everyday existence. A set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices. A set of values or social practices associated with a particular field. Hey, folks, multiculturalism is AIDS. It's cultural AIDS. If we don't have one set of beliefs that we are, see, that's why, oh my Lord, the fools can't see that Islam is a culture. Multicultural people are good. Multicultural beliefs coming together, bad. You don't work that way. Hey, are we going to have a belief system where every woman has the right to liberty? Or are we going to have a religious system called Sharia law where every woman is in subjection? Those two cannot coincide. So multiculturalism ultimately brings us to a conflict. Which culture going to survive? That's the culture wars. That's what's going on. We've been taught so much it's not true. I hope I've whetted your whistle. We're just getting started. Share this with your friends. Invite them into the queue. We got up to 22 today. I want 30. Stroke my ego. God bless you all. We'll pick up more of this tomorrow. Right here on Pass the Salt. God bless you. See you then.